I am so very thankful that you are here today. It seems a fitting opening for a sermon entitled Thanksgiving, but it is true, not only on this Lord's Day, but upon all of them. I am thankful when people come together to hear the Word of God proclaimed, come together in fellowship one with another. And for our text this morning, we've chosen Psalms, the 75th division, and verse 1. Psalms 75 and verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. This particular passage is talking about looking out upon the creation of God and seeing all the wonder. And indeed, it is a thing for which to give thanks. And it is almost that time, Thanksgiving. We know we have had several folks who have said, well, I won't be here next week because I'm traveling to be with family. And some have said, well, my family may be here for part of the holiday. And if so, we'll try to get them to come to services. And, you know, we often think about giving thanks during this season, and we're often reminded to do so. Oftentimes when we think about Thanksgiving, we ponder the things for which we to give thanks. Well, you know, this particular season, as has already been mentioned in the announcements, there's food. But there's also family, and when family gathers, there's food. And then there's fellowship and food and fun and food. And some might even say football. And did I mention food? You can tell what my favorite part of Thanksgiving is. But what about the rest of the year? Are we not truly blessed throughout the year? Are we not recipients of God's rich abundance toward us all year long? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever really stopped to think and ponder and been amazed at how richly God has blessed you? Oftentimes, as you turn to Genesis chapter 32 and verse 10, we'll see Jacob in his prayer to God. But many times we think about what we don't have. I've listened to a number of conversations with people. They would say, well, you know, this went bad and this went wrong and that turned south, or whatever expression they use. And so many people don't focus upon the richness of the blessings that God has given us. And some people say, well, God really hasn't blessed me. If you're alive today and you're aware of your surroundings and you have opportunity to be faithful to God, you have been truly blessed. Jacob, in his prayer to God in Genesis 32:10, says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Stop and think about that. We are not worthy of one thing that God has done for us, yet we are willing recipients of them. Jacob tells why he was not worthy. He said, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. In other words, he left with a stick in his hand. But now he comes back to the land of his father. It was a very large group, much multiplied, a number of sons and his servants and his flocks and all of the things that he had amassed while he was there in the land of his father-in-law. But in chapter 8 of Ephesians, verse 20, we see how richly God blesses his children. And this is key. We know that when it's writing to a church in a particular location, he's writing to those who are his children, those who have obeyed the gospel, those who have accepted the sacrifice that was made upon Calvary's cross based upon the conditions that God himself placed. And he writes to the Ephesian brethren as directed by the Spirit, now unto him that is able to do, listen, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Sometimes we think that our request to God are not attainable. Now, of course, anything that we ask in accordance to his will, that we will have it. But notice, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. When God does bless us, when God does bless us exceedingly abundantly, how do we begin to thank him? We mutter the words, we thank you for this food. When we sit down at the table, I've been in the home of a number of Christians, and and somewhat surprised at those that sit down and eat. They fail to express their gratitude to God. I can see why some, when going out in public, might would fail to do so or be a little bit reluctant to do so, although it doesn't affect me. You can laugh at me all you want, just be quiet while I'm praying. You can make fun of me all you want, just be quiet while I'm communing with God. But we are to be thankful for everything that He has done for us. How do we thank Him? Well, there's a number of ways that we can thank Him. We can thank Him by praising Him. We have been given a great blessing this morning by being of good voice, to be able to fill this building with joyous song. And we are in so doing thanking Him. And it seems sometimes by the lack of effort that some put into singing, they're not very thankful. There was a lady one time who sat directly behind us. I was not preaching at the time, or not full time. At that time, I would get out of leading the singing if I could. But I always sang from my seat. And this lady sitting directly behind us, I actually one time turned and looked, and her lips were moving, but I absolutely heard nothing. And those of you who know me know I have really good hearing. Was she thankful? We are told to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In Psalms 18, verse 49, we see there the psalmist is directed to write, "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." This was one way in which he was expressing his gratitude for all of the wonderful blessings that God has bestowed upon him. And of course, in Psalms, the 92nd division, verse 1, again we see the psalmist write, is directed by the Spirit, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." For those who question whether or not we should sing, and I know all the excuses, I don't have a very good voice. Well, no, not all of us do. Some of us more than others. But it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is also a good thing to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. That we don't have to out-sing anyone. Some of us are blessed with a large voice. I've been told that I have a big mouth more than once. But we are to use it to the best of our ability when we're singing praises unto God. In Psalms 100 and verse 4, again we see the psalmist directed to write, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." What does that mean? When we come before God, at that time, more so than any other time in our lives, we are to be grateful and thankful for all that He has given us. Enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We are to express our gratitude to God in a multiplicity of ways, and this is just one of them. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20 is a very familiar passage to many people. And there are those who want to apply this passage to the worship service. And I'm going to say some things here that might rankle just a little bit, but hear me out. The context in this part of the Ephesian letter is not the worship service, but all of life. "And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Look at verse 19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." What is being said there is that we ought to be giving thanks always unto God in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. However, if you want to look into the context and you want to see what is being said, you have to ask yourself the question, if this and all other things spoken of in this passage attain only to the worship, do we need only to submit ourselves to one another when we worship? The wife would only need to submit to the husband when worshiping, and the husband would only be required to love their wives while at worship. Now, I want to prove what I'm saying by having you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 25, in the exact same context. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The point is, let's be consistent, but let's also be thankful. There are way too many other passages that also tell us that the raising of our voice to him and giving praise to him is showing our gratitude. Let's always show it. In James chapter 5 and verse 13, we have a situation being presented, and we know that afflictions befall all of us, and sometimes as we are afflicted, the question is asked, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Now, when do we go to God in prayer? Most of the time it's when we're afflicted. Because when we need something, when we want something, we think about it and we say, oh, wait a minute, I need to pray. But what about when we're happy, when we're merry? Well, according to this particular verse, let him sing songs. Oftentimes you can tell when someone is in a good mood and they're happy, they're humming and singing and that sort of thing. Now, there's times to do all of that. You're not to be humming while people are preaching and teaching. But we can have in our minds, our existence, we can have a joyous song going on at all times. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. We are to give thanks to God. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 tells of the unthankful and what a continuance in such brings. So what we want to do is we want to compare the thankful and the unthankful. The one that is thankful is going to sing. He's going to raise his voice to God in praise. But Romans 1:21 tells us, because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And because of this, they became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. So we see the other side of that. And then in verse 28, we see what a persistence in continuing that kind of activity or being unthankful and being disobedient brings. And we know people like this. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And if you read everything from verse 21 to 28, you'll see a progression. And it begins with not being thankful. From what I can see of this, the Bible teaches us to be thankful. Yeah, but you want to see the other side of it, or you want to look on the flip side of the coin, so to speak, turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. This shows us one who does retain God in their knowledge because they are thankful to God, because they are not foolishly darkened by forsaking God. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. When I come before a body of believers, children of God, Christians, I never cease to be surprised as to how many of them look sad and forlorn. Woe is me. I am happy to be here today. I am saddened because others are not able to be here today, but that still does not dampen my joy toward God, and the peace of God can rule in our hearts, to the which also we are called in one body, and because of that we ought to be thankful. Oftentimes people worry about the things of this life and say, well, you know, it's hard to get through this life. Well, that's true. It is. And not one of us is going to get through it alive. But while we're here, we have opportunity to prepare for that which is on the other side. And while we do it, we ought to be happy because we have attained. At least we have attained the receipt of the promise. Those who are children of God are recipients of the promise of God, the promise of eternal life. None of us will receive it until we cross over. But we can also thank God, not only in our voices with singing, but also in prayer. In Nehemiah chapter 11 and verse 17, we have some names here which I will probably slaughter. Some of these Bible names are hard to pronounce. But we see there in Nehemiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, and Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdiah, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. If you'll listen to people's prayer, you'll find out that a big portion, say 70 to 80, maybe 90%, are filled with gimmies and help me's and that sort of thing. And only 30, 20, maybe 10% to being thankful. This is the one who began the thanksgiving in prayer. We see another group of people there. I won't try to pronounce all of their names, but the point is, we are to commune with God in prayer and to say that we are thankful. And we are to be thankful. We see this in Nehemiah chapter 12 and verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all of their places to bring them to Jerusalem. Why? To keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, and with cymbals and psalteries and with harps. But they brought them to keep the dedication with thanksgiving, to offer prayer before God, to sing, to raise their voices to God. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, we find out that Daniel was a man of God. He, according to that which he was supposed to do, even though he was in exile, or not in exile, he was a prisoner somewhere. He was had been captured by the Babylonians, along with all of Jerusalem. But he had heard there was a document signed by the king that said anybody that prays or kneels down before anyone besides the king, he would die. Notice in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, in other words, he had full knowledge of the problem that he was going to bring on himself by doing what God would have done, he went into his house, his windows being open, he didn't even try to hide it. He went into his chamber, opened his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. It's never wrong to do right. And in reading the account of Daniel, we'll see. The reason of this is what we find in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. We see that the Apostle Paul was directed to write to those particular brethren that they were to be, as Daniel was, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I'm afraid that there are too many Christians that think it's a burden to serve God. Friends, if that has entered your mind, you have a problem. If it is a burden to serve God, you have a problem. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, we see the Apostle Paul, directed by the Spirit, writing to those people and telling them words, or writing to them words as to how they ought to conduct themselves. First he says, be careful for nothing. Another word for that is anxious. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Not only are we to make our requests known to God, we're also to express our gratitude for all what he's already done for us. Even for the things that we never asked for. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We are to be thankful. We are to express this. But we can also thank God by using the blessings that he has provided for us to his glory. Oftentimes people are too focused upon what they can get out of this life. You know, we can dedicate and use the blessings he has given us to his service, and that doesn't mean we have to give up absolutely everything. We don't have to give all of our monies. We don't have to give all of our time. We don't have to give all of ourselves, but we have to put God first. And the blessings that he has given us can be used. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, we see, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We have before us a stack of bills. And I'm sure you get them. This postman of mine, I just cannot get him to take those somewhere else. He keeps bringing them to my house. And they have my name on them. And I sit down and look at them. And sometimes, in the past, I've looked at them and said, well, how am I going to do all this? Actually, to be perfectly honest, I shuffled that burden off on my wife. You pay the bills, I'll work. It wasn't fair, but let's just say I'm growing in maturity. And sometimes the question is, how are we going to do this? Some people might say, well, you know, if we didn't put anything in the offering plate, we'd have a little more money to pay the bills. That's never been a question in my home. That was one of the first things that my wife, when she was not my wife, when we began to talk about getting married, she said, there's some things you need to understand and you need to be fully aware of, that God comes first. And that includes of the material blessings that He has given. When we were worried about where to buy milk and meat, the offering never suffered. Use those things that He has blessed us with. And what does He say even back in Proverbs? So shall thy barn be filled with plenty. You know what? I've never missed a meal because I put money in the offering plate. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 12 through 14, both riches and honor come of thee. Where do they come from? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James tells us. But back in Chronicles, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, and we praise thy glorious name. Oftentimes we go through life and we're patting ourselves on the back. Look what I've done. Look what I earned. Look what I made. Look what I've been able to amass. No. Here's the attitude. Look what God has allowed me to use. Look what God has provided for me so that I might better serve Him and do His will. The question is continually asked, or continued to be asked after the reading that we had just read in verse 14 of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own we have given thee. When we're talking about giving, we're talking about using what God has directed. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 is a very familiar passage. Now the church does not participate in tithing. The Bible does not teach in the New Testament age about tithing. But in the age of Malachi, and the writing of Malachi is directed by the Spirit, we see under that particular system, they were told, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. You know what that's saying? I'm going to paraphrase that verse. You can't outgive God. And this is not a sermon on giving, but this is one way that we can give our gratitude to God or show our thanks to God by using that which He has given us to the blessings of His glory. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 31, we see Hezekiah answering. He says, now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many were of a free heart burnt offerings. You know what they did? They brought their sacrifices, which, by the way, were required. And then they brought offerings. I think we ought to give somewhat the same way. And there's a number of ways that we can do it. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 and verse 15 tells us, but let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. You know, we can thank God, and we do thank God when we are obedient to His word. You ever thought about that? If you have a child and you tell a child to do something, how do you feel when that child does it? It makes you feel good. If you're God's child, how do you think it makes Him feel when you do what He asks you to do? In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, we find that when Saul disobeyed God, he tried to cover it up with sacrifices and burnt offerings. In other words, let me offer something here. Now, I know I didn't do exactly what God said. Matter of fact, what he said when he came back was, we have done what God said to do. The question then was asked, what's this I hear? What's the lowing and the bleeding? What's going on? And Samuel corrected him. Samuel said to him, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 3. And just yet another passage that points out the same thing. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Here's the key, folks. He does not want your sacrifice if you're not going to obey him. Obedience will bring about the sacrifice. Because if we love God and we obey him, we will want to do what he says to do. We can show our thankfulness to God by being kind to others. How does that show? Well, if we're grateful for what God has done for us, we're going to be kind to others. We're going to help them. In Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, again, we see about the question being presented here, showing kindness. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. When we are obedient to God, we are expressing our gratitude to him for what he has done for us, what he has provided for us, and for the opportunities that he has given us. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 37 and 38, we see that King David showed great kindness to Barzillai in honoring his request, and so doing was thankful for the help offered and for the fact that he could still do the Lord's will. The servant came to him and said, and I pray thee, let me turn back that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But take my servant, let him go over with you, and let him fight with you. The king answered, said, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. He said, look, I can't go. I'm old. Let me send my servant. He will fight for you. Just let me go back to where my father and mother are buried. David showed that kindness, and because David did what God wanted to do, and as long as David did what God wanted him to do, he was successful. He was great. The greatest king that Israel ever saw. From what should we conclude, or what should we conclude from this message this morning? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 16 and 18 kind of sums it up. It says, rejoice evermore. I'm going to say that again, and I want to look at your face when I say it. Rejoice evermore. And then it says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God has provided for us so many wonderful things, material things. But most importantly, he has provided for us spiritual things. What kind of things were those? Well, it began with our Lord and Savior dying on Calvary's cross, giving his life as a sacrifice for all of humanity, then extending to us the opportunity and the invitation so that we might become children of God. And for that, we're not thankful. Yeah, what a wonderful season Thanksgiving is. But all year long, we should be thankful for all that God has given to us. When we consider all the ways that God has blessed us, our lives ought to be filled with praise and thanksgiving. Is Is that what we do? Well, how do we get to the point where our lives are to be filled with praise and thanksgiving? Well, we first must obey the gospel. We cannot be a children of God until we are born into the kingdom. And the Bible teaches us how this is done. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we read, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where does that faith come in? Because one must believe. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And he also told them that they were to repent. Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And we are to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And speaking to his disciples, he had asked him, who do men say that I am? They gave him the prevalent answers of the day. And then he said, whom do ye say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He made that great confession. And then we're to be baptized. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us that baptism is that which doth also now save us. And that's because that's when the sacrifice that our Lord made upon Calvary's cross is applied to the soul of man. One cannot contact the blood of Christ until they are baptized into Christ, die to self, raised in Christ to walk in newness of life. But after doing that, we go through this life and we forget to be thankful. And sometimes because we forget to be thankful, we allow ourselves to be drawn away by the world, the cares of the world. And when that happens, we sin against God. And it happens to children of God more often than you think. However, God has required as part of his plan that we are to live faithfully unto death. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, it says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So what do? They've already obeyed the gospel. They heard, they believed, they repented, they confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They've been baptized into Christ, but now they have thrown it all away. As children of God, if that is your case this morning, you can be thankful. Because he's offered you an opportunity to come back to him. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, we're told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Oh yeah, Thanksgiving is coming up. The season when a lot of people will be traveling, a lot of people will be eating. But we're to be thankful all the time. Let us, as we depart from this building, be thankful. Not that the sermon's over, but there's an opportunity tonight to come back to serve God. And let us be thankful throughout the life. Also, if you're here and subject to the invitation, be thankful that you have this opportunity and don't let it pass. Regardless if you're not a child of God, come, become one. We'll help you. We stand ready to assist. If you are a child of God and you've allowed sin to come into your life, come. Make things right. God is calling the prodigal home. And be thankful. Let us stand and let us sing.